Welcome to It's a Crazy World, where musicians discuss the unique lifestyles of today's artists. If you want to know how to get through the craziness of the world of music as you reach for your dreams, you won't want to miss this episode of It's a Crazy World with Cynthia McIntosh.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to It's a Crazy World. Thank you for tuning in. My name is Cynthia McIntosh. I'm an artist development specialist with Success with McIntosh. And today we're going to have a real special show. I really, really like our guest today. You know how I normally ask our guests when they first knew they're going to be an artist? And you know how they always say, well, my parents were artists, and you know, by the time I was 4 years old, I was playing the guitar and the piano and the drums and the ukulele and so on and so on and so forth. Well, I enjoy hearing those stories. But I asked our guest today the same question. Well, not this guy. This guy is so much fun because his story is really, really different, but it's also very inspirational. You can learn a lot from this guy, and he will tell you his secret to success, and he has become very successful. In fact, he's become very successful only in the last 2 years. But he is not a teenager anymore. He is proof that it's never too late to find success because he found success later in life. He has a really interesting story, and you won't want to miss it. So stay tuned to It's a Crazy World, and we will be back with you and our special guest right after this.
تجرب نار الشوق تكويك وبقول لك هدوء طب استنى
Like, yeah. needs medication, he has nothing to give. I close my eyes and I calm my head. It's not the sickness, but the pain that I dread. I see the face and I see the tears. Even though you avoided me, I still can hear. Use my hands towards the guiding light. All of a sudden the pain is gone and I want to fight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And it's not an hour to be back. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
We're back with more It's a Crazy World with Cynthia McIntosh.
Welcome to the It's a Crazy World show. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. Today we are talking to Renee Benton. And for those of you who don't know who he is, you're going to know by the end of this show. I have had so much fun getting to know this guy. In fact, I was really impressed with him. I listened to a video that he did, a live video on Facebook the other day, and it was so interesting. I really, really enjoyed it. So he's going to tell you guys when he's going to do that again. Right, Renee?
Absolutely.
So, Renee, tell us, when did you first know that you were going to be a musician? Everybody has a different story, and I know yours is actually really unique. So how did you find out you were going to be a musician? Because that's not how you started life.
No, not at all. Well, I started playing guitar when I was 7 years old. Never had taken any lessons, and I learned how to play guitar by watching people on TV and the gentleman down the street who was a blues guitar player from Omaha, Nebraska. I never had aspirations of being a musician, never had aspirations of touring, never had aspirations of quote-unquote being famous and all that stuff. I had a very traditional mindset. But what happened for me is I went into the Marine Corps, and I was a guy looked at me. To this day, I ask him this question: how did you know I was a musician? I had on my uniform, and I walked into this place, one of the eateries that was on base. I was in Okinawa, Japan, and wow. I walk in there, and this guy's sitting way in the back. He says, "Hey, Marine, come here." And I was like, "Yeah, what's up?" He said, "You're a musician, aren't you?" I said, "Yeah." Now, once, like I said, the striking thing about that is that I had on my uniform. And we all look alike in the Marine Corps. And so how he figured that out to this day, he never really told me. But he just said, man, I sensed it. I don't know how. I have no idea. I didn't have a guitar in my hand. I didn't come in singing. I went in there just to get something to eat. He's sitting way in the back and said, You're a musician. I don't know. So at any rate, when I got with him and we were in a barracks and he was recording me, and he stops the recording. And he says, man, you don't need to be in the Marine Corps. You need to be a musician. I'd never heard anyone say that to me. And he said that to me. He says, man, you need to get out of the Marine Corps and you need to pursue a life in music.
Wow.
Yeah. And I was, I was in my 20s when he said that. I was just barely turned 20 at the time. Now, of course, when he said that to me, me being from Omaha, Nebraska, he might as well have been speaking in Greek. Because it didn't register. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm like, I'm gonna get out. I'm gonna go home, and I'm gonna get a job, and I'm gonna get a wife and a picket fence and a child and a half. I mean, that's how I saw it. So some time passed by. I got out of the Marine Corps, and I went back home, and I worked. One of the first job I had after I got out of the Marine Corps, I was a door-to-door encyclopedia salesman. People have no idea. I just, wow. I didn't know that come out. That came out.
Oh, that's so funny.
Encyclopedia from door-to-door in the summertime in Omaha, Nebraska. First job I got when I got out of the Marine Corps. So I went from being in the Marine Corps to selling encyclopedias door-to-door.
Oh, wow. True.
And so I just did that, right? Because that's, I don't know, I was just doing it. And so kind of fast forward a little bit, I worked, the last quote-unquote real job I worked. I worked at a mental health care facility in Omaha, and I'm there, and they wanted me to they wanted me to switch from – I was working as a psychology technician slash security guy, and I worked at night. Mm-hmm. And it's very interesting to work at night in a mental health care facility without getting into it, as you can imagine. So at any rate, they called me in the office one day. I thought I was in trouble. I didn't know why. Uh-huh. And they said, we want to promote you. We want to send you back to school to get into medical billing. And I was like, whoa. Inside of myself, I said, if I take this job, I'll be here for 20 years. I knew it. Just something about – something said that was it. Incidentally, at the same time, a childhood friend of mine, he was moving to Atlanta to pursue music. I'm like, oh, there's that thing again, that pursue music thing. I'm like, what does that even mean? So I went back. I went back home to my apartment, laying on my back, looking up at the ceiling, and I was like, I said a little prayer, and I said, hey, I think I need some guidance on this. And so I went into my job the next day, and I gave a 2-week notice, not knowing anything. And I moved to Atlanta.
So you just knew, you prayed and you knew that you were supposed to go to Atlanta, huh?
Well, no, I knew I wasn't supposed to keep going with that job.
Really?
Now, the Atlanta thing just showed up. But it just kind of, it all worked together.
Yeah.
And so I'm there, I'm in Atlanta, and my buddy, who incidentally was in the Army, I was in the Marine Corps, and he formed a band with some people he was in the Army with, and he told them about me. And I moved there. I talked with my mom, my dad, my grandfather, and I told them I was doing this thing, and they were very encouraging. And but it was my first time. It was scary. I'm like, wow, I'm going somewhere. I don't really know what's going to go on.
Yeah.
One thing I did know, going to Atlanta, I said, okay, this music thing people keep talking about. I said, first thing I got to do, I got to get rid of my corporate image. So I started growing my hair out.
Uh-huh.
And at this time, once you do that, I think it's very different now. But in the corporate world, as a guy, your hair could not exceed your collar. And at that point, my hair was getting way past my collar. And I said, wow. I said, I can't go back into the corporate realm right now. I said, okay, I'm in Atlanta. I need to get some type of job. Well, we were staying in this band house. We were staying with these folks. And we live very close to a roofing company. Now, this, like, I'm going to answer your question when I decide to be a musician. Okay, so I worked at this roofing company, and a couple of things happened. When we would have slow days, the owner, he owned a farm. And for the first time in my life, I baled hay. Now, people think, oh, he's from Nebraska. He baled hay before. I'm like, no, man, I'm from the city. I never touched hay. So I'm in Georgia. I'm in the middle of Georgia, and I'm baling hay at this guy's farm. First things first, I end up hurting my back because I didn't realize bales of hay were so heavy. That wasn't when I decided that I knew I wanted to be a musician.
I was going
to
say.
Bring this to a head. Okay, working for this roofing company, one of the things that he did in the middle in Georgia was hot tar roofing. Now, for those that don't know what that is, it is what it is. They're boiling hot tar. They take this tar and they take a mop and they put it all over the roof. And so then they take this tar paper and you lay it down and then you start to build the roof from there. So my buddy, he was the guy that would usually take the rolls, these big old heavy rolls of tar paper, and he would lay them down. They would align them up and all this stuff. So this day, for some reason, I end up being that guy. I pick up this heavy roll of tar paper and I laid it down. When I laid it down on the hot tar, hot tar splashed up on my arm.
Oh, no.
The hot tar was approximately 900 degrees Fahrenheit. I still have the marks on my skin. It was at that time where I decided to go to the position. Because I said, I'm not doing anything part-time. I'm going all in. And I'm like, yo, I'm going to make a way. And it was at that point I finished out the day. But I never.
I told you guys you'd love him.
Yeah, that was it. That was it for me. And so
that is funny.
Me to the point of where I said, I'm not doing that anymore. If I'm going to do this musician thing, I'm going to do this musician thing, and I'm going to make a legitimate living at it. And at the time, there was I would always read Guitar World and Guitar Player magazine, and in the back they had classifieds. And I came across this organization. They're not around anymore, but they were called PMR, Professional Musicians Referral, and they were based out of Minneapolis, Minnesota. They had a toll-free number. I called that number and said, my name is Renee Benton. I said, I'm in Georgia right now. I said, and I'm a guitar player, and I want to join your company because I want to work as a musician. And that started my whole trajectory into doing the music thing. So those things coming together at one time kind of started me on the road to doing wanting to be a musician. So right. That hot tar is what did it for me. Every time when I get a little down and out, and when I go through something musically, I look down at my arm and I'm like, I'm never going back. I'm like, it's music. Like, you're gonna, you know, they're putting me 6 feet under with a guitar in my hand. I'm not going back. And now that's an extreme thing, because keep in mind, I was a corporate guy. And I didn't have to go there, but I wanted to live an artist's life. And when you live an artist's life, if you want to look cool and all that stuff, you can't necessarily do it in a corporate environment.
Right.
And so I sacrificed that. I sacrificed safety and all that for cool and hot tar burns. So that's what made me want to be a musician. Yeah.
So, okay, quick question. How would you describe your music style then? Now that you're in music, how would you describe your style?
Well, I've just always, at least my recorded stuff, I always put it in the rock and metal category, and that's where everybody puts it. That's how it was promoted. I think that if I had to really describe it, I would say it's rock or metal with sophistication, and the sophistication comes from my musical background.
Right.
I did not come up playing rock like a lot of guys. On that side, they've done rock and metal their whole lives, and I don't have that story. My story is completely different. But embracing your musical roots and then getting into, or kind of, shall we say, finding your way into another genre, you take everything you've ever known and you just pull it over there. And so I would say it's kind of a sophisticated metal. Like I said, I would just have to put the adjective of sophisticated in front of it, sophisticated rock or sophisticated metal, and that, as I said, has a lot to do with my personal music background. And the funny thing is before we went live, I was talking about when people start writing about you, and what I noticed that regardless of whatever country it is, they pick up right away. They're like, well, yeah, this is definitely metal, this is definitely rock, but there's something different he's doing.
Right. Right.
And they pick up on it right away, like there's something else going on there. We can't quite put our finger on it. And that's all it is. It's what my musical roots are. They just kind of bleed into that, and they pick up on it. And it's a beautiful thing.
It is. All right, yeah, so at the beginning of the show, we played the song Hollywood Jesus. What's the story behind that song?
Well, there's a couple things going on. That is from Expressions 1, and I put out Expressions and Expressions 2. Expressions 1 was originally recorded in 1996.
Wow.
It wasn't released until 2016.
Wow.
Yeah. And so that I just had to set that up. Anyway, mm-hmm. So what happened with how I came up with the title Hollywood Jesus is I grew up in the church. Mm-hmm. And so I had gotten accustomed to pastors ministering in a certain type of way, and so I feel like who's the guy that fell asleep and then he woke up? Is that Rip Van Winkle or
right? Yeah.
Okay. Well, I kind of felt like Rip Van Winkle because I don't know what happened, but I went. I grew up in a church and I was used to pastors talking about certain things a certain way, and generally all I ever heard was I heard about salvation, I heard about heaven and the other place and how to avoid that. Because I don't like anything even near profanity, and so I say the other place. People like the other place. Why don't you just say the word, man? You just say this in the Bible. No,
that's cute.
I don't feel comfortable with that. So at any rate, so that's all I knew. Okay, so in the 90s, I was on tour with a band, and I turned on the TV, and it was a Sunday. And mm-hmm. Sunday is usually like a dark day or a travel day, but I'm resting and I'm looking at various pastors or ministers on TV, And some of them were talking about, well, we'll send some money in and we'll send you a prayer cloth. And we'll send you some water. And then I was listening to guys talk about what you could get from God, mm-hmm. right? And so it became, of course, anytime you use the word Hollywood, it means fake.
Right.
It's make-believe. It's not real.
Oh.
And so I came up with the title Hollywood Jesus, how, like I said, in the 90s, and now today, it just has continued, where I'll sit there and I'll happen to watch a pastor or come across a pastor, and either they're a really good motivational speaker,
right,
or talking about what you can get. And so I just went there, and then the pastors will do it and people will do it as well. And I don't even know if I'm supposed to be going here on your radio show, but I'm just gonna go there anyway because I'm
go there. We're all good.
So at any rate, I just came up with the title of that song, and I recorded part of it in Warsaw, Poland. Part of it was recorded in Colorado, another part was recorded in Nebraska. Now, keep in mind, this is the 90s. It's not like today where people can just send in digital files.
Right.
That was existing then. You would literally have to go to these different places. Another part of it was recorded in Indiana, mastered, blah, all this different stuff going on. But at any rate, I wrote that song while in my hotel room in Warsaw, Poland in 1996 or 97, somewhere in there. And so I just touched on various subjects. If you go line upon line upon line, it gets into different situations. There's someone on a deathbed. There's a minister asking for money to get so you can get something. And the first line of the song is, "Father, Father, won't you help me, please? I think I'm losing weight and I have a bad disease. My horoscope said I'd be all right. Besides, it takes too long and I have a date tonight." Those are the first lines of that song. It touches on a lot of different subjects there.
It does, yeah.
So that's where that comes from. So that's what that song is about. It is about how people want, they want to have a certain type of a relationship with God, or they want to be a certain way, or they want certain stuff to happen. They want everything to go their way.
Right. Yeah. They want to put them in a box so they can get what they want.
Exactly.
Right.
And so that's what inspired the song Hollywood Jesus.
Wow. That's pretty intense. That's really intense. Well, we need to take a break. And so we'll be back with Renee and you right after this.
It's a Crazy World with Cynthia McIntosh. We'll be right back after this. We'll be right back. We're back with more It's a Crazy World with Cynthia McIntosh.
Welcome back to It's a Crazy World. Today we are talking to Renee Benton. We just listened to the song East Meets West.
I've always kind of liked certain music from the Middle East or East Indian music and things of that nature. And I started this is going back some years. I would go to the library and I would check out a book on exotic scales, and so I would learn these various scales from all over the world on guitar.
Wow.
And,
and
this is pre-internet, so you literally had to go to the library and check out a book and read it and bring it back. And so I got into that, and then I said there's no way on earth I could just write a song like that. That's just not me. And I said, but how about I take some Western culture and blend it in with just enough of a Middle Eastern vibe that people notice it, without it sounding too outlandish. And so that, and I had at the time I met a young lady who I was fond of. She happened to be from India, and I'm from Nebraska, and so when we would talk, I would see a lot of variables in us relating,
right,
to each other.
I can imagine.
So many different ways. And so between my musical thing and my personal life and journey, out came the song East Meets West.
Wow.
And so there's sections of the song where it definitely sounds like you're in an Eastern thing, then it comes right back with something that sounds very Western, but the majority of the song sounds very Westernized, very straight rock metal vibe. And so that's how I came up with that. So that's why the sitar is in there, and varying beats, patterns, and things of that nature. That's where that comes from.
That's beautiful. That's really beautiful. So what do you think has been your greatest challenge in your career as an artist?
Be that as it may, me being an artist it's been an ongoing thing. What I mean by ongoing is that I'm sure you have people on your show, they're artists. See, I was a side guy / artist. Mm-hmm. So in other words, I played behind artists to finance my art. That's what I did. And so the biggest challenge for me being an artist, as opposed to being a side guy, all I have to do is learn someone's material and don't get in trouble. and they pay me, there's no problems. That's being a side guy.
Right.
Being an artist, the biggest challenge for me is dealing with being reviewed. See, I've been a side guy for many years, but being an artist, as I said, it had not been a constant thing. So it's a different world for me to look up one day and somebody is writing about me. I see my name there, and they're talking about music that I've written.
And how long has that been happening?
That just really started happening last year.
Wow! Congratulations.
Yeah, because I've just been behind people, and I was totally content with that. But and so how I started nurturing my artistic side. Now, look, I got to rewind. The first time I explored being an artist was back in the early 90s when I sent out a quote-unquote demo tapes to record companies, back when people used to do that. And I didn't want a record deal. I just wanted to see if I was good enough to get one.
Uh-huh.
And so I started hearing back from record companies. And I said, oh, I guess I can be an artist. And I was over it. That's all I wanted. I know most people say, what? Yeah, literally. I heard from record labels. I heard from major labels. I heard from indies. And they liked what I was doing. That's all I needed.
Wow. I have to admit, this has been a very unique interview. I don't think half of what you said I've never heard anybody else say. I don't think I've ever heard anybody say, yeah, you know, I really was never interested in being a musician. I didn't think I was going to be a musician. I just, you know, just fell in my lap and I was already in my, you know, I was an adult. And the fact that you also have a military background. And by the way, what I find is interesting is you still have that intensity. You still have that discipline and that maturity that comes with being in the military. You didn't throw that all out. It's not like you're this big rebel that just said, forget the military and I'm going to grow my hair and turn into an artist, you know?
Not at all.
We've talked about that. It was so funny. I remember you saying, yeah, you know, I eat the same thing every day.
Yes, that's true. That's very true. That is very true.
I think that's amazing.
Things in reverse, like, well, who? Yeah, I wanted to see if I was good enough to get a record deal. And then once that happened, I was satisfied for a number of years, and because I figured out, I said, oh, the best thing for me to do is just find a way to play behind people or play with people to sustain myself. And so that's what I did. I took another route.
Wow.
And so that took pressure off of me. So the only thing I had to do was just make sure that I had a network of people that could just keep me working. So back in 2014, there was a gentleman in New York who he specialized in people providing music for television. And he and I, we talked. And he liked what I did. You discover different people online. He liked what I did. And he said, great. Can you write 12 more songs exactly like whatever song he heard? I said, sure. And so I started writing material for him. I get it done. It seems like a year or so later. I finally get it done. And I send it to him. He's like, oh, this is great. And so he sends me a contract. The contract was not great. And I've had the same entertainment attorney since 1994. I sent it to him. He says, no, Renee, this is a horrible contract. This is the kind of contract you sign when you don't know any better. And so I had to turn it down, and because it would be, for it to work for me, there'd be too many amendments for him as well as I. So we parted ways.
So you got to keep the music, though?
It was my music. Right. I wrote it.
Right.
So at this point, I'm like, what am I going to do with this music? Enter a PR guy that I've known since about 2010. And I had kept in touch with him, and I said, hey, I think I want to release a record, and I think I want you to promote it. And so that's how I got into the artist thing recently. It wasn't even meant to be that.
Wow.
And so I had to kind of think strategically, how do I want to do this, that, and the other. And so when you write music for TV, one of the things you have to do, you have to be impactful in a very short amount of time. So I had to learn how to assemble songs that were less than 3 minutes. So I said, I got these short songs. I said, but they really move. You just heard East Meets West. So they really move. They move a lot of air. What am I going to do? So I said, okay. So my first record was Expressions. Why don't I call this Expressions 2, T-O-O, Short Stories? That was the marketing plan. Okay.
Oh, good job.
Yep. So from there, I gave everything to my PR guy, and he treated my record just like he would any other release. So he sent it out to the wolves, and one of the things that they kept noticing, they were like, we don't know who this guy is, but he figured out a way to be exciting in less than 3 minutes, 12 times in a row. And that started this whole thing.
Wow. So your life has really changed in the last couple of years. What do you think, when you look back on life, what do you feel is your greatest achievement?
In life or in music? Because there's two separate things.
You pick.
Okay. Well, okay, I'm going to divide this in half.
Okay.
So I would say, as far as life achievements go, I think the biggest achievement, which I don't think I've gotten over it, is becoming a United States Marine. It's the hardest thing I've ever done. It's a few and the proud. And that was like the biggest life achievement. I don't care what came after that, but that was one of those things for me that I always kind of go back and say, wow, that's right. I'm a Marine, man. How did I make it through that? Okay, so that's the life side of it. On the musical side, I'd have to say being a working musician, because mastering that, it takes a certain, beyond a skill set, it takes a certain attitude, because you have to be willing to be in a supporting role. And a lot of people don't handle that well.
Well, I think you probably learned a lot of that from being in the Marines.
Yeah, exactly. You don't always have to be the leader. And sometimes being part of a team creates a leadership environment for you. And mm-hmm. So I would say being a working musician, transitioning from just being, from going to the military to being part of the workforce to being a working musician. I say being a working musician has been perhaps one of my greatest achievements, because where a lot of people who I've known throughout the years, they they stopped doing it for various reasons. And I said, well, all I do is look at that burn mark on my arm, and I'm like, I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to stop. But as I said, being an artist, going back to the initial question, being an artist, I think one of the hardest things for me is dealing with people writing about me. When you put music out into the universe, and this is where a lot of artists lose it, they think everyone's supposed to like you. Like, no. You don't want everyone to like. If everyone likes you, that means something is wrong. That means somebody's getting paid off. If no one's saying anything bad about you, that means someone's getting paid off. It's just there's no way around it. So somebody's getting paid off. So when I had to deal with being an artist, I had to deal with my name being in print or being online and people saying things about my music that they didn't like, derogatory. See, I'd never dealt with that before. I never dealt with that after all these years. I never really dealt with that. So I had to learn right away to have elephant skin. It's got to be
right.
Thick. Right away. Right. You have to be that way. And so that's one of the hardest parts of being an artist, because when you put your heart and soul in a piece of music and someone says that it's, no one said that it wasn't good, but they came at me in different ways. But it still had a negative feel to it, and I had to deal with that. I had to keep going through that because, see, I couldn't pull it back. See, the music's out in the universe now. It's out in the universe. You can't pull it back. And so whatever it is, it is. But there was more positive that came.
What did you do to get through the negative?
Well, probably one of the most unique things I did that I don't think anyone else would do, I actually contacted the person that gave me a negative review, and I said, thank you.
Did you really? Good for you.
I did, because a relationship is a relationship. Now, most artists would never do that. They would never do it.
And what was the result of that?
Well, the result was is that for me, it was a thing of letting them know that, oh, well, this is how you feel about the music, but it's fine. I still think you're – thanks for taking time to even review it. And one of the things that it does personally is that it matures you. And so I did it right away. I thanked people. I heard from them, and everything was fine. Now, most people, they would launch into that person. Especially, see, nowadays, it's not like back in the day where somebody wrote something about you and you didn't even know how to find them.
Yeah. You can go on, if nothing else, you can find them on Facebook.
Connect with these people. And so, when a guy, he said something negative, I'm like, oh, it's okay. I just thanked him through Facebook. Hey, man, thanks for reviewing my material. I really appreciate it. Here's some more stuff. Just listen to it. You don't have to review it. Just listen to it. So I took a totally different approach.
Wow.
And so I end up getting people following me. Because that guy that gave me those negative reviews, see, he's got to deal with the fact of seeing all these positive reviews. See, because I post every one of them on Facebook. He's my Facebook friend. So he's got to look at that. He's got to give me a thumbs up.
I love that attitude. That's probably the most profound thing you've said through the whole show. And you've said a lot of them. That is amazing. I love that. Kudos to you.
That's what I do.
Well, unfortunately, we do have to take another break. So we'll be back with Renee right after this.
It's a Crazy World with Cynthia McIntosh. We'll be right back after this. We'll be right back. We're back with more It's a Crazy World with Cynthia McIntosh.
Welcome back to the It's a Crazy World show. We're talking to Renee Benton, and we were just listening to Halo or the Horns.
Halo or the Horns is a classic good versus evil song. I wrote that, once again, that is off of Expressions, which was originally composed between 1996 and 97, but I just released it in 2016. And I wanted a song, it's instrumental, of course. I wanted a song that, without getting too technical, harmonically sounded like it was literally good versus evil. Huh. So I would sit with my guitar until I found something that sounded so dissonant, but yet it worked musically that I could actually record, and I wanted people to feel like there was a wrestling match going on the whole song. And so this song, I wanted it to have that vibe. Mm-hmm. And so the moment it comes on, it just blasts you. But I wanted it to settle down into something, so it's kind of I wanted to take people on any emotional carpet ride, if you will, just using like no words, just complete music.
Wow.
And so that's what I did, and that's what that song's about. It's just good versus evil, and good wins in the end, because it's supposed to. Yep. That's the story behind that tune.
So what's your vision for the future of your music career?
Well, right now, I want to bring awareness to Expressions and Expressions to what I mean by awareness is I want it to I want the music to reach not only the quote unquote musician types, but I want it to reach the common man, and that's why back in 2014 when I was in Australia and New Zealand and other places, as you can see, I think I sent you some things. I walk the streets and just talk to average people, and I let them listen to my music and get their opinion. And had I not gotten an opinion from an average person, I don't think I would have put any music out. I went right to the people. Now, I didn't do it through a YouTube or a Facebook. Nope, I went right to people's faces in a foreign country. and said, hey, I would query them a little bit, because I would ask, what type of music are you into? My first words out of my mouth is, hey, I'm an American guitarist. I'm over here promoting things. Would you be willing to listen to my music? They'll say yes. I say, what type of music are you into? Now, if they didn't say rock or metal or something like that, I still said, well, that's okay. I still want to try it. And so if someone said they're in the dubstep, I'm like, okay, great, sure. Yeah, why not have you listen to it? So I was just capturing people, average folks, listening to instrumental music, and they said they liked it. That is when I knew I was onto something.
So your vision is to get your two albums right now out and heard. Why? Yeah. What's your ultimate vision? Why do you want that? What is your real deep purpose and motivation for doing that?
I don't want to insult anybody, but real music's not real music's not dead. And the only way to let people know it's not dead is it has to be out there. It has to be in the hands of the common man. It has to be in the ears of the common man and common woman. I want my name and my music to be a household name. I want to be like Clorox. That's the goal. I want to be like Clorox. And if you think about this for a second, there are not too many guitar players that are household names. They're not too many. And so that's ultimately where I want to be. My grandfather, rest in peace, one of our family friends, I didn't know this, but one of the family friends was the blues great Howlin' Wolf. And I didn't know who he was, and he would come and visit my grandfather. And I didn't know this guy influenced the Rolling Stones and all these people, but I literally, like, I would just talk to him as a kid, but did not know who he was. And when he passed away, and I'm looking in a magazine, and people are talking about how great Howlin' Wolf was, I'm like, the Howlin' Wolf that used to visit my grandfather? And so it was through him that I saw, I'm like, okay. I said, I want my name to be in a common place, somewhere. And so that I figured that through music, that's the way you do it. That's how you get there. Like I said, I want to be like Clorox. I just want it to just be just a common name.
Why do you want everybody to know your name?
The main purpose for everyone to know my name is that because I want them to know what I'm connected to.
Okay.
What do I mean by that? It is hard for you to name off, even you look at the most popular musicians today, it is hard for you to name off 10 musicians who have any type of positive disposition. So through music, I want people to know that not all musicians are messed up. Not all artists are messed up. Not all artists want to go and do a bunch of crazy things and get involved with a bunch of debauchery. Not all. So the only way to make that happen is by coming into commonplace with people. Your name becoming common and what your name is synonymous with and what you're known for.
Okay, that makes sense. So really what's important to you and your vision is to be able to use your music to show the common world another side of the musicians and of music, really. A different side of the... Yeah.
Because they don't see it.
No.
They don't ever see it. All you hear about musicians is it has something to do with suicide, has something to do with drug overdose, it has something to do with being in trouble with law, it's got something to do with paternity suits, it's got something, it's always that.
Right. So you just want to show people another side of music. That's wonderful.
There's another side that exists. And so the only way I can ultimately get to that is that, well, through music, putting out quality music, meeting people such as yourself, which heightens more awareness to what I'm doing. And that means a lot to me. That means a lot to me. A good name goes a long way.
Beautiful. So what projects are you currently working on?
I just got done recording. I recorded for an artist by the name of Kim Tibbs. She's her specialty is she's a Hammond B3 player, which is hard to do, but she's a keyboard player. She is part of the 25th anniversary of Billy Ray Cyrus, Achy Breaky Heart.
Mm-hmm.
And she's also a solo artist. She's from Alabama, but she is more known in the UK. There's that European thing.
Yep.
So at any rate, so she's putting out a record that I think is due out in August, and I'm on a couple of songs with her. She's actually on the UK soul charts right now. So I just got done recording with her. Also, I just got done writing a song for an artist by the name of Gigi Hamilton, and she's Swedish, and she's like a Swedish superstar, and she's been in the business for a little while, and so she's I just got done doing a song for her, so that's supposed to be coming out sometime, and it's very very different from my music. Very mm-hmm. different. And then something else that I'm doing is back in April, I spoke at a conservatory here, a high school conservatory, to 11th and 12th graders about the music industry. And so I do something I call the 411 Music Seminar, where I talk about the music climate today. I talk about streaming. I talk about songwriting. I talk about publishing. And these are things that kids know nothing about. And the reason that I'm going, and I want to do all 50 states. I want to do all 50 states. And uh-huh. So I just have to put together a proposal. And there's other people that's helping me get into these schools. And of course, I have to work within their budgets.
Right.
And so I'm working that out right now. And the reason that that's important to me is because, see, when I was younger, I wasn't into music that heavily. Unlike today, kids are heavily into music. The reason they're so heavily into it now is because of technological age.
Right.
Because it is so easy to create music. It is so easy to put it out there. But they don't know, oh, so you have to be a registered publisher to actually put music out. See, they don't know about that part of it. They don't know how much you earn from streaming and things of that nature. So I'm out to just give the kids the knowledge. So I'll have to send you my demo reel for that, so you can kind of see what's going on.
Yeah, I like that.
So that's what's going on right now as we speak. Also, I will probably be going out on tour here very shortly. Not promoting myself like I did last year, but I'll be backing up a group. They're actually a group from the 70s, and they're from the UK, and I'll go out and play guitar for them. Once again, me being a side guy, then all this finance was my art. So that's what's going on right now.
Wow, we got a lot going on. So where does one go online? How do we see what's going on?
Well, you can find me very easily. My website, it has some information. So I'm at renee-benton.com. You can find a lot of interesting things there. Also, you can catch me on Twitter, or as we say, the Twitter. Renee Benton Git. In other words, Renee Benton, G-U-I-T. Renee Benton, G-U-I-T at Twitter. And then on Instagram, it's just Renee_Benton there. And also, you can find me on Facebook, just Renee Benton. I'm there, and I'm very accessible. You can hit me up at any given time, and I do respond to all inbox messages, good, bad, or indifferent. I do that.
Okay, so finally, before we end the show, if you were to come across a young artist who's just getting started, what would be your greatest piece of advice for him or her?
An artist, I would tell them, diversity is the key to longevity. As an artist, even if you're a solo artist and you're doing your art, what's to stop you from writing a song for someone else? What's to stop you from performing with someone else? Only your mind can block that. So I put out there just nurture diversity, musical diversity, because that will always keep you around. I started out playing just R&B and funk and a little bit of fusion-y jazz and urban gospel. That's where I started out at. But I'm not known for any of that today. If you're young and you're in your formative years musically, and music is a practice, it's like medicine, you're always learning. My biggest advice I say would be diversity. Just diversify everything you do. Once you've kind of got a hold on what you do, try doing other things.
That's wonderful. That's a really good piece of advice, because especially with remote session work and all the work that you can do online, if you refuse to learn the kind of music that is not necessarily your favorite, if you're willing to study other kinds of music and have an open mind and learn to appreciate other kinds of music, then your work is unlimited. It's with being able to work online now, there's so much you can do.
And like I said, it's if you just take away the your own musical boundaries, you'll never know who you would meet along the way. And I've performed and toured and recorded with everything from hard rock to heavy metal acts to soul acts to pop acts. I've just keep running it.
Well, thank you, Renee. We are running out of time, but I really appreciate you being on the show. It has been inspiring. It's been very interesting and a lot of fun. And I really appreciate you taking your time to be on the show with us today.
Thank you for having me, Cynthia. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome, Renee. Thank you, everyone, for listening to It's a Crazy World. You can reach us at successwithmacintosh.com. If you have any questions, feel free to contact us. We would love to hear from you. And if we can help you create your vision and design a blueprint for your future, please feel free to give us a call. We would love to be part of your success. You can reach us at 866-636-4696. So thanks again for listening. Have a wonderful week. Go reach for the stars. Never give up. And God bless. See you here next time.